think, right before Christmas, so I don't know who was here, who wasn't. But we're going to pray through the Nativity, and it'll be a little bit different. If you weren't here and you don't know what's going on. And I say that a lot, but this is actually quite different than any sort of service you normally have. But what we're going to do, if you're familiar with the Nativity scene, surely you are, there's certain characters in it, and we're going to kind of talk about the characters. So this is like a devotional, a Bible study slash prayer meeting all at once. Got a slideshow we'll show you, but so we're going to go through, there's 8 different characters. Some of them are living and some of them aren't, that are normally seen in our nativity scenes that we have around our house or wherever you see nativity scenes. So we're gonna read, this is how it's going to go, we're going to read the story in the Bible, and then we're going to talk about each. I think there's 4 points for each of them. We'll see how it feels. Maybe we'll open it up if anyone else has something they want to add. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And then Lucy here, she's going to help me. And she's going to build the nativity scene as we go. And we're going to get Brother Newell, who's going to help us pray. So we're going to go through each one. We're going to read the story, do some points about the character, and then have prayer after each one. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, we'll follow along, I suppose. So, you know, I like to use different versions here and there, but I'm going to use the King James because this is it's a good one for the Christmas story. I've tried to read it, the other ones. I'm so used to the King James, I get all tongue-tied because they're not the right words, which is weird. But anyways, so we're going to start with Mary. Some of you know Mary. You can bring it over. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, 'Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women.' When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, 'Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.'" So, you know, we preached about Mary last Sunday night, I think it was. Just some points about Mary. The first thing, I got ahead of myself. We got to finish the story. "And he shall be called great, and shall be called his son." We did the one. 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, 'How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?' And the angel answered and said unto her, 'The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her." Now we can get into it. So Mary, just a few things about Mary. If you read through it, first she's frightened. She doesn't know how this is going to work. If you read the story of Zacharias, he's also frightened. Basically, everyone in the nativity story is frightened because angels are showing up, and that wasn't normal. She might not be as frightened as some of the others, but there was some fear there because Gabriel does tell her not to be afraid, because there's always some sense of fear or worry whenever there's something that God is asking of us, because we don't know how things are going to work out. We never know what's going to happen. We don't know what the thing is going to involve and how it's going to play out or whatever. And so Mary knew some of what would come. You know, Mary would have been familiar with the prophecies and things, and she would have known some of what to expect, but she really didn't know how it was going to feel. You know, the loneliness, seeing her son on the cross. Like, there are things that Mary went through that no one else would ever go through, and no one else would ever understand the things that Mary felt. But even though there was some fear, in her at the sight of the angel and probably of the things to come. Mary, she trusted God even though she didn't know what was going to happen. And we talked about this last week, but this is the key. And I think sometimes we think God needs to tell us every little detail and every little single thing that's going to happen, and then we'll trust him. But that's not how it works. Trusting him goes way beyond that. It's not really trust if we're kind of overseeing every step. We're just doing what we want. We're trusting ourselves. You don't really trust someone to do a job if you're breathing down their neck. Ever had a boss like that? Oh, I trust you. No, you don't. Go away. Let me do my job. You know, you can't say you trust if you're just, okay, well, I'm just trying to micromanage everything. Trust involves not being able to see. And so Mary, she trusted God even though she didn't know what was going to happen. Even though she had no idea how this whole thing was going to play out. She just said, how's this going to be? And he said, well, this is going to happen. Which doesn't make sense. These aren't things that ever happened before. These are just words that she's trying to process. And she says, whatever you want, be it unto me. And so she trusted even though she didn't know what was going to happen. The third thing is Mary was willing to endure undeserved shame to see God's will accomplished. In those days, it was a great shame to be with child and not married. And no doubt there would be some that was thrown her way. She had no idea how Joseph was going to react. And I believe that Mary was prepared to do this alone if she had to. Nowadays, there's not as much shame around single mothers. But, you know, I was raised by one and nobody really treated us differently. But back then, that was a scandal. And Mary was willing to go through that to see God's will accomplished. And a lot of times we're too busy trying to protect our own reputation, but Mary doesn't seem to care. And so God, you know, he protected her, but at the time she didn't know how this was going to go. And so the question is, are we willing to lay down our own selves? The Bible says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. Are we willing to do the same? Because that's what Mary was willing to do. The last thing is she received an unexpected visit that changed her life forever. And often life changes with something unexpected. A moment, a decision, a conversation, a phone call. With God, it can happen one day in prayer. It could be one altar call that changes your life. One moment in his presence. One time just responding to his presence, and everything can change. And I think the key is to live in submission to God and just kind of go with it. Whatever it is he's trying to do. Because if we do, he's going to be able to do some pretty incredible things through us. Someone other than Mary might have said no. God knew what he was asking. You know, that's the reason why he asked Mary. Someone else might have said no. We need to live as Christians. We need to live faithful lives. But we also need to be prepared for these encounters where things change because God has something different planned for us. And it may involve going somewhere new. It may involve stepping out into something different. We don't know. That's what the unexpected means. And so that Mary received an unexpected visit that changed her life forever. And so we're going to pray here in a second. We're just going to pray for these 4 points. We're going to pray that God would show us his path that he has for us and help us to walk in his will. Pray, God, help me to listen when you send people to my life. That's a big one because sometimes we don't want to listen. Like you sent the angel to Mary. Let me be willing to be set apart for you, like Mary was, and help me to live a pure life and keep myself ready for the things you have planned to speak to me. So we're just going to pray for these things for a couple of seconds, minutes, whatever. Anyways, let's just pray together for these. Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I thank you for this example you've given us in Mary, God. I pray that you would help us to follow her example, God, that you would show us the path that you have for us and for our families, God, and help us to walk in your will, not what we want or not what we're desiring, God, not trying to micromanage everything, God, but I pray that you would help us to walk in your will, whatever it is you have for us, God, whatever you want to do in my family. Whatever you want to do in my home and in my life, I pray, God, that you would help me to walk in your will, to surrender everything
up to you. God, help me to listen when you send people into my life, whether I want to hear it or not. God, help me to listen to what they're trying to say. In Jesus' name, God, Mary had an angel show up and give her some unexpected news, and it wasn't something that she ever saw coming. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to listen to people. They may say something that's from you that doesn't sound like anything we expected to hear. God, I pray, help us to hear those things. In Jesus' name, God, as we read your word, I pray, help us to take it in, God, and hear what it is you're trying to say to us. God, I pray you would help us. God, let me be willing to be set apart for you, and not try to protect my own reputation or try to control what other people think of me. God, be willing to lay everything down, God, for your glory, for your kingdom, for your will, for whatever it is. God, help us to be like Mary and pray, God, be it unto me according to your will. Whatever it is you want to do, God. If it means that my reputation is gone, then so be it. If it means I lose a position or I lose respect from this person or that person, as long as I'm doing what you want me to do, God, I'm willing to do it. God, help me to be willing to be set apart for you. And God, help me to live a pure life and keep myself ready for the things you have planned to speak to me. God, I pray that I wouldn't be caught unawares when you show up. God, I pray that it wouldn't be, oh, I can't do that now because I got too many other things going on. I pray that I'd be ready. God, my life would be pure, and I would be ready for whatever it is that you're trying to speak to me, whatever it is you're trying to do in my life. I pray in the name of Jesus. God, help us to be ready to receive from you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, that's Mary. That's what we're going to do. How's that? All right. We got Joseph. You ready?
I think you're going to have to move Mary a little over. I think she's too far to the side.
And Joseph, Matthew 1. I should have got other people to read, so I don't have to read all this. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. I'll try to read all of them this time. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou art son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then shall she bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. So some points about Joseph. As you read through the story, you can see that Joseph was a kind man who cared about others. Joseph was very considerate about Mary. The fact that she was with child, and he had nothing to do with it, this was a huge thing. He could have shamed her in front of everyone. He could have accused her of being unfaithful. It could have been a huge mess. He could have even had her stoned, maybe, the way the law was. But yet the Bible says he was trying to figure out a way to solve this problem as he saw it quietly. He didn't want to embarrass her publicly. He didn't want to cause a scene. And you know, we live in a day when everyone is recording everything on their phone and trying to out people and catch them, and you know, I'm trying to get people fired for things that they're doing and saying and whatever outside of the world. There's just all kinds of crazy stuff. Joseph wanted none of that sort of thinking. He cared for Mary, and he was willing to try to figure out the best way to solve this dilemma. And the second thing is, he believed God even when what he heard seemed impossible. And just like Mary, he believed. And several times throughout the story of the birth and early years of Jesus, God speaks to Joseph in dreams. And every time Joseph responds and obeys, even if the thing seems impossible. And he's trying to figure out what to do with this news from Mary. And then he has a dream about it. You know, most of us, if it was me, I'd be like, well, I just was thinking about that. That's why I had a dream about it. You know, that's how it happens sometimes. You think about things and then you dream about them. But he has this dream about it, and God says that she's telling the truth. And, you know, I don't know if all of us would have believed that dream. You know, I've had dreams that didn't seem to, well, that's crazy, and then just forget about it. But, I often try to reason my weird dreams away. I don't know, I'm weird like that. Maybe that's why God doesn't speak to me in dreams a lot. But sometimes, you know, people show up in a dream and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's because we had this conversation, I mentioned this thing, and, you know, it was bouncing around there in my mind, and so that's why it appeared. But Joseph, he's not like that. He went to bed thinking about the situation, and then he had a dream about it. He never doubted the dream. He doesn't say, well, obviously, I would have a dream about this. I've been thinking about it all day and night. He doesn't do a fleece thing like Gideon. Oh, are you sure about this? And, you know, why don't you do this? And he just believes it. He just believes God right away. And that's an incredible way to be. And he was a man of faith. He believed God even when what he heard seemed impossible. He was a leader. He was a person of integrity who accepted responsibility to see God's plans accomplished. So once Joseph has this dream, there's no going back for Joseph. He's not in and out. He's all in. He steps right up. He doesn't try to run away. He doesn't try to reason it away. He does the right thing. He takes care of Mary and baby Jesus, even going so far as to go to Egypt and eventually settle in Nazareth. These are both things that he's told to do in other dreams. And God uses people, and the more we're willing to step up, the more he can do through us. You know, he responds the first time to that dream. It's not a coincidence that later God gives him another dream and then another dream, because he's responding, he's listening. And so he steps up and he accepts the responsibility and he listens to what God's saying. So God continues to use it. The last thing is he's asked by God to do something difficult. I don't know if you can imagine this, but being the one responsible for raising the Son of God, the Father's job was to teach the Son and the children trades and the Scriptures. You know, it was his job to teach Jesus the Scripture, to teach him the Torah, all the while knowing in the back of your mind, he probably already knows this stuff. You know, John said the Word became flesh. I'm teaching him himself. You know, that seems like a crazy thing to be asked to do, but he does it anyway. It's almost impossible to do, but he does it. And so, some prayers we can get from Joseph's story. Lord, help me to put actions to my faith like Joseph took care of Mary. Let me do the things I know are pleasing to you. Help me keep my words sweet like Joseph, who didn't accuse Mary when he thought she had done something wrong. Help me to be a leader and a person of integrity, doing what is right even when no one else is looking or no one would know otherwise. And help me to remain loyal to the people you have placed in my life, even in challenging situations and circumstances. So Brother Newell is going to lead us in prayer for this one.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example of Joseph, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to be like him, Lord, not to jump to conclusions, Lord, to wait for your word, Lord, to have patience, Lord, and, Lord, to wait to hear from you, Lord, and when we hear from you, Lord, to obey, to follow your word, Lord, whether we hear it from a spoken word, Lord, or your Spirit speaks to us, Lord, or we see it in the Scripture, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to do that, Lord, nothing doubting, Lord. Lord, we know that many things, Lord. Lord, help us to be like Joseph, Lord, and be willing, Lord, to accept the secondary position, Lord. Lord, we know, we hear it. Lord, he was played a supporting role, Lord. We don't hear of him in the latter years of the ministry of Jesus, Lord, but, Lord, we know, Lord, that he did what you'd have him to do, Lord. So We pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord. Lord, give us the strength, give us the courage, Lord. Give us the wisdom, Lord, to obey your will, Lord. We ask it in your name, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. The manger, you ready? This one's fragile. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, it says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, and everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. In verse 7, when she had brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, there was no room for them in the inn. We don't know technically where the manger was. Traditionally, it was a stable of some sort, but there's been some disagreements about that. I don't know what you have your ways. That's what the nativity scene is. So, the first thing is Jesus was born with divine purpose, but he was born in a very humble place. He was laid in a manger. And so again, it could have been in a stable, a house, a front yard, or whatever. But the point is, and was, that a manger is a very humble place. This is a place where animals would eat. And it was a place that probably didn't smell very good. Probably wasn't the cleanest. And it was humble. And God often uses humble things and humble people. And even though it wasn't fancy, God provided shelter and there was no other place to go. It may not have been what Mary and Joseph were expecting. You know, to lay their baby in a food trough. But that's just like God, isn't it? He provides for us, but it's not usually the way we think it should be. It doesn't always look like it does in our head. And sometimes, because we look for the provision to look how we expect, we tend to miss it, and sometimes we don't quite see how God is providing for us. He fed Elijah with ravens. He paid some tax money from a fish. He fed 5,000 with a few fish and loaves. He delivered Israel from Egypt, being led by an 80-year-old man with a stutter. He defeated the Philistines with a boy and a sling. And just like God provides for us in unlikely ways, God was found in an unlikely place. And I found that God doesn't always show up where and when we expect him. The story of Elijah, there was wind and fire and earthquake and all kinds of noise, but he was found in the still small voice. And I found that God shows up often when I'm driving in the car by myself. I'm in a dark room trying to rock a baby to sleep, or I'm at work, or in the woods, or riding a bike, or walking the dog. And yes, he shows up at church too. That would be crazy, you know, if that never happened. But the lesson here is God can be found anywhere. David wrote that even if I make my bed in Sheol, or what we call hell, he said, you are there. You never know where you're going to find him. And so we need to be looking and open. The last point is Jesus was worthy of so much more. Even though he was God in the flesh, he humbled himself. In our thinking, he should have been born in a palace. He was worthy of that, at least somewhere clean. But Jesus came to be accessible to all of us. Not everyone can go into the palace, but everyone can come to a manger. So we're going to pray, Jesus, help me make room and keep room in my heart for you. Help me to remember that everyone is important. Help me to realize that you provide in unexpected ways, and thank you for providing places of rest for
for me. So let's pray these things together. Jesus, hallelujah, God. I pray that as we go through this season and all the things that are going on in our lives and our homes, God, I pray that we would make room for you. God, I pray that we would keep room for you in our hearts, Jesus. I pray we wouldn't get overcrowded with all the other things and cares and concerns and worries of the world. God, I pray that you would help me to remember that everyone is important. You came to be accessible to everyone, and everyone deserves to hear about you. God, I pray that we would keep that in our minds. And Jesus, help us to realize that you provide in unexpected ways. It wasn't what they expected when they found out that they were going to have a baby, and it wasn't, you know, they didn't even think they'd be in Bethlehem in the first place, and then they ended up there, and then they were born and put into a manger. None of this was expected, and God, you are still in the middle of all of it. I pray, God, that we would realize that you provide often in unexpected ways. And Jesus, I just want to thank you for providing a place of rest for us. God, all the times that we're tired and weary and we feel like there's no room for us in the end, there's nowhere for us to go, you always make a way and you always provide a rest and a place of rest. We can come to you. And Jesus, I pray you would help us to remember these things, God, as we go into this busy season. In Jesus' name, God, you would have room in our hearts, God, and we would find rest in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Then we got the angels. And this angel, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14, it says, "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them."
Is it backwards?
"And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory in God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." First thing is, God sent an angel to deliver his message. Peace. The angel said, there's something happening. There's a shift. There's a change. The world is about to be altered forever. The world is about to be changed. God himself is coming. It had been a while since people had heard from God, 400 years or so. But now he's speaking, and now he's moving, and now his angels and his messengers are relaying his message. And we can go through dry times in our life when it feels like not much is happening, maybe spiritually, but God can still speak, and we need to be ready to hear. And as the angels showed up, more angels filled the sky with great praise. It started with one, and then it grew. It started with one word from God and one messenger, and then there were too many to count. And we've seen this sort of thing happen even in our church services, you know, in worship and prayer. One person steps out, and it seems like not much is happening. One person will step out, and then others will, and others will follow. One person worships, and not long after, there's an entire host worshiping. You know, there hasn't been much happening, but one angel breaks that silence, then the others join in. The angel reaffirmed the promises given by the prophets and written in God's word. When God speaks, this time through his angel or his messenger, he's always going to line up with his word. Every message you receive from him, if it's from heaven, if it's from God, it's going to line up with his word. And the shepherds were going about their everyday work when the supernatural appeared in their natural world. So again, God shows up where we least expect it. When we're working, when we're doing dishes. A couple weeks ago we talked about God of the ordinary. Now he's there in all the ordinary things we do in our life. I don't know if you ever had that happen. Just praying, just working, just doing stuff, just cleaning the house, and God shows up and moves. And so that's what happened with the shepherds. And so just a few prayer points. Lord, please send angels to your people all over the world so we'll know the things you want us to and have peace. Help us to remember the messages you've already given in the Bible and respond like the shepherds did with joy. Prepare my heart to expect the unexpected. Let my response to your word bring glory to you and peace toward men. Brother,
Lord, we thank you for messengers, Lord, that you send, Lord. Lord, we thank you for those angels that came, Lord, that brought the news of our Savior, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the worldly messages, the ministers, Lord, that brought that word to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'll be faithful messengers, Lord, and take your word to others, Lord. Help us, Lord, to spread the truth, Lord. Lord, that message, Lord, at this first Christmas morning, Lord, wasn't something for one time, Lord, but it was to all men, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'd give us the strength. Help us, Lord, to take to each and every one that we have in contact, Lord. For there's ones, Lord, that we'll meet that might not have anyone else that knows the truth, Lord. So we just ask, Lord, that you give us the courage, the wisdom, Lord, the strength, Lord, to take your truth, Lord, be true messenger to you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Then we got the shepherds, which are my favorite, for no reason. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, it says, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told of them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the shepherds, they were afraid, again, like everyone, but they believed God's message and checked out for themselves what the angels had said. It was not just enough to hear the word. It's not enough to say, oh yeah, I believe. Oh sure, I believe. Okay, great. Thanks for letting us know that there's a baby there. And all this stuff's happening. Thanks for that. I'll just sit here and keep watching my sheep. It's not enough just to hear it and say, oh, I believe. There needs to be some action. There needs to be something that we do. And if the shepherds are just, that's cool. Swaddling the clothes. Yeah, neat. Manger, awesome. Bethlehem, though, that's too far. I got things to do. Forget it. That would be a pretty dumb thing to do. So God shows up and he'll speak to us, but we're supposed to do something with it. Not just say, oh, thanks for telling me. There was something that was expected of the shepherds. It's not enough just to hear, but we have to do as well. So I went the wrong way. After they met Jesus, they praised God and spread the word of his coming. There's something about meeting Jesus. You just want to tell everyone. And I like to say that the shepherds were the first missionaries. As they met Jesus and went and told everyone. The shepherds were kind of wild weirdos. They lived out in the middle of nowhere, basically. It was just them and the sheep. No doubt them showing up in town and going on about angels and messiahs probably would have caused a scene and stirred up some folk. But they did it anyway. And they took time to leave their work for a time to do God's will. Work is good. Work is important. But work should never come before the things of God, the ways of God, or the will of God. The shepherds willingly left their flocks, willingly left their work to go do something that was more important. The Bible is full of people who are working and were called by God, and every one of them leaves that to go follow God and do his will. And think of the disciples, think of Elisha, Gideon, they were all doing something. And God shows up and they stop that and they go and do what it is that God's calling them. Disciples mended their nets. David was tending his sheep, Matthew was collecting tithes, all kinds of things. It's an ongoing
thing. We cannot put work ahead of God. Sometimes God will call us to do something different, maybe for a short time, like the shepherds, and maybe for life, like it was with Matthew and the other disciples, but we need to be willing to obey whatever it is that he's asking. God's message came first to the shepherds, whose profession was not a highly respected one. They say that shepherds were some of the lowest of the low. That's not very nice. It wasn't a job that most people dreamed of. You know, people would do it as a kid. You know, you didn't want to do it when you were fully grown. You had to, they said that you had to mess up a lot in order to be a shepherd. But yet, just like the manger, God chose the humble and the lowly, because this message and this Savior that was coming is for all of us. And so prayers to pray, help me to do the things you asked me to do, even in the times that I'm afraid. Bless the people who take care of others, like the shepherds who take care of their sheep. Help me to keep an open mind and spirit to you, regardless of where I am, and be willing to share the message you give me with others. Help me to leave anything behind you ask from me, for a season or for always, to see your will accomplished in me and through me. So let's pray these things together. Jesus, I pray that you would help me do whatever it is that you're asking of me, God. Whatever you want from me and my family, God, I pray that we would do it in Jesus' name, God. Even the times that we're afraid, even the times we're worried about how it's going to work out or what's even going on, I pray, help me to do whatever it is that you're asking. God, I pray that you would bless the people who take care of others. Bless the ones who serve. Bless the ones who work. Bless the ones who take care of other people. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that you would help me to keep an open mind and spirit to you. Whatever, wherever I am, be willing to share the message you gave me with others. I pray, God, we would be like those shepherds and just go out and tell everyone that we found the Messiah. Tell everyone that what we've seen. Tell everyone what we've experienced. I pray, God, that we wouldn't hold it in. We wouldn't be worried about what other people think, God, but we would share that message. And Jesus, I pray, if you're asking of us, if you're asking me for a season or for always, to leave something behind, to go somewhere with you, I pray, God, that we would. In Jesus' name, I want your will to be accomplished in me and my life more than anything. In Jesus' name, I pray, whatever it is you want to do, God, help us to surrender in the name of Jesus. God, don't let anything come before you in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we're halfway done. This takes longer than I expect. The star of Bethlehem is the next one. Ooh, there it is. Did you see that? No? Matthew 2, 1 to 9, 8. Now I can't see from that side. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, that thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." But God uses the star to point these wise men, or magi, or whatever you want to call them, to Jesus. A star is a fairly common thing. There's tons of them up in the sky. Smarter folks than I haven't tried to count them all. They guess that there are 200 billion trillion, or 200 sextillion. I didn't even know that was a number. 23 zeros. That's how many. But God chose one of those to lead the wise men to Jesus. God can use anything to speak to anyone. And he can use anything to point anyone to him. God's star outshined all the others. We need to make sure that the things of God are the brightest things in our life. There are a lot of other things trying to get our attention. We need to make sure that God is number one. We can't allow anything else to take His place. God can use something we see every day to put a desire in someone's heart to learn more about Him. Sometimes that's us. You know, we can be the ones out of the millions and billions of people. We can be the ones who God uses to spark someone and something in someone else to lead them to Him. You know, God uses the common everyday things quite often to speak to us. People are watching. We can be the light to someone else because the darker the night, the more clearly we can make out the lights around us. And we complain about the darkness all the time. Without the darkness, you can't see the lights at night. Anyway, the darker the night, the brighter the light, the more clearly we can see it. The world has changed a lot in the last, it's like 20 years. I remember a very different world growing up than what my kids are growing up in. You know, sin's always been around, but it's celebrated more than ever before, and we can lament about that and complain about it. Or we can look at the fact that the light of Jesus is shining just as bright as has ever shone before. So some prayers with the star. Help me, Jesus, to notice all the beautiful things around me that point me to You. In nature, my family, in church, there's all kinds of things. If we stop and think, God shows us things when we're open. Like the star that pointed the wise men to Jesus, point me to the people and situations that need prayer. Show me how to pray for them. Lord, let me be aware of Your direction and timing and the seasons and events of my life. Let me be full of joy as I follow Your leading. Shine brightly in me, Jesus, so others can see Your light and be drawn to You. Brother, did you pray last night? Okay. All right.
Lord, we thank You for the star, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the light, Lord, that You shone into our hearts, Lord. Lord, You've revealed the truth of Your word, Lord. Just as the wise men, Lord, were a few among many that would have seen the star, Lord, but, Lord, they followed it to You, Lord. Lord, we're a few among many of this world, Lord, that have seen, Lord, the truth of Your word, Lord. Lord, many people see the scriptures, Lord, but You've revealed to us, Lord, who You are. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we could be like the star, Lord, that, Lord, we might shine forth to others, Lord, that, Lord, just not by just what we say, Lord, but our very lives, Lord, to show others, Lord, to point their ways to You, Lord. Help us, Lord, in this, we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And with the star comes the smart guys, the wise men, the wise guys. Got a few of these ones. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. And so the wise men, when they found Jesus, they gave him gifts and worshipped him as king. There's something about Jesus that inspires worship. We shouldn't be able to get into His presence and not respond in worship. That should be our natural response, our natural reaction, because He is holy and He is worthy and He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because He is, we should worship and praise and give what we have to Him. And also,
the wise men, they obeyed God over the governing leader, or over Herod. Herod wanted them to do one thing, and God told them to do something else. They had a choice to make. These were not Jewish men. These were not people that even probably knew God. You know, they were just, they studied the stars. They were astrologers, basically. Like, that's what they did. That's what the scientists were like back in those days. And they were following a star. You know, they didn't really know much about God, but they decided they were going to choose God over Herod. And there's going to come times in our lives when we're forced, or we're faced with a decision: do I follow what this leader says, or do I follow what God and His Word say? And the wise men were aptly named, for they made the wise choice. And they went to great personal expense to search for the king. This wasn't an easy journey they had. They had traveled for a long time. Tradition says it took them 2 years or so before they found Jesus. They didn't show up at the manger scene, as everyone thinks, but they traveled for a long time. They came a great distance, and that doesn't come for free. You know, they didn't have to pay gas, but they were on the road for a long time. They weren't, you know, they had to buy all the food, and they had to, you know, fill their camels and stuff with fuel and diesel. And, you know, they had a sacrifice to make this trip. And we could think of, you know, missionaries and people like that who make great sacrifices to follow Jesus and where He's leading them. You know, time away from their family, birthdays missed, moments not shared with family and friends. And, you know, these guys didn't have phones or anything either. I don't even, you know, they were just gone for a long time. No one knew if they'd return or what would happen, or what even happened. It was a great sacrifice that they took to search for the king. But they united for a common purpose, which was to find and to worship Jesus. One of the most important things we can do is worship Jesus. And worshiping Jesus with others is even better. It's good to worship Him on your own, and we should. When we get together and worship Him, it's even better. We're not meant to do it by ourselves. And so a few prayers about the wise men. The purpose of the wise men's trip was to worship. Help me to make my relationship with God the most important thing in my life. Lord, bless the missionaries all over the world, the people who have traveled from their homes to unknown places to tell others about You. Help me to be willing to ask questions and follow the advice of those who give godly counsel. Give me discernment to know and obey Your leading above every other voice. There's a lot of words in these ones, but let me be willing to give my gifts of time, treasure, and resources to actively pursue You and share the good news of Jesus with others. Let's pray these things together. We're almost done. Let's pray these together. Jesus, God, I pray that my relationship with You would be the most important thing in my life. God, I pray that worship would be the focus of all that I do. God, help me to live my life as a life of worship. And God, we pray for those missionaries and those that have gone and have left everything behind to go and tell others about You. God, I pray that You would strengthen them tonight. God, that You would be with them and God, support them and surround them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that You would help me to be willing to ask the questions that I need to ask and follow the advice of those that I need to listen to. God, give me discernment to know what voice to hear, what voice to listen to. And God, help me to follow Your leading above every other voice. There's going to be times that come when we're faced with decisions. Do I follow this, what the government says, or what this person says, or that person, or do I follow what I feel like You're telling me through Your word and through prayer? And God, I pray that we would make the right choices. God, give us wisdom as we follow You. God, I pray that we would be willing to give gifts of time and treasure and resources to pursue You and share the good news of Jesus with others. Whatever it is that You're asking of us, God, we give everything to You. I pray, God, that our lives again will be lives of worship, and we would give whatever it is that You need. God, whatever it is that You're asking, God, our whole lives and surrender to You. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the last one, the most important, Jesus.
Luke 2 and 21 says, and when 8 days are accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit to the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. So Jesus was the one this was all for. Simeon held him or saw him and said, I have seen the salvation of the Lord. I have seen it. This is for the Gentiles. This is for the Jews. And Jesus is like Mary in the sense that he was pure and willing to serve and prepared to accept undeserved ridicule. Jesus is like Joseph in the sense that he is a leader and a provider, full of integrity even in the hard times. He is like the manger in a sense that he gives rest to God's people. He is our source of nourishment and provision. He's like the angel in a sense that he brings comfort and direction, the supernatural appearing in our natural world. He's like a shepherd watching over his sheep. He spreads the news. God is with us. He is like the star showing us the way to God. He brings light into our darkness. Jesus is like the wise men, giving of himself so God would receive worship, united with God's purpose and part of his plan. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so, I'm done. Why don't we just take some time at the end here? Why don't we just praise him and thank him? I know this is a different thing. We don't do this every service. Why don't we just take some time tonight and just praise him and thank him for all that he's done? He's all these things that we need. He's the light in the darkness. He's God with us. He brings comfort and direction. He leads and provides. He gives rest. He's pure and willing to serve. And all of these things. He's what this whole thing is all about. Why don't we praise and thank him together for that tonight before we wrap this up. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you, God, for what you did for us, Jesus, that you came, God, as a baby to be born to take on our sins to a cross, to pay the price for our sins, to set us free, God, so that we could be saved and be reunited with you. I pray, God, I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you, God, for all that you've done. Jesus, I thank you, hallelujah, God, for your love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you're all these things that we need. You're a leader and a provider, God. You give rest and nourishment. I thank you for that, Jesus. I pray, hallelujah, God, I worship you tonight. God, you are holy and worthy. Jesus, let your will be done in our hearts. God, let your will be done in our lives. I pray in our families. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Amen.